Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabre. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabre.
Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Are you glad to be here tonight? Are you excited to be in church tonight? Yeah. Noise is because we are excited. Let's pray. Let's close your eyes with me. Let's organize ourselves. Let's fix ourselves. Let's control ourselves. We are in the presence of the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I will never be the same again. You will not leave tonight the same as you entered here.
Never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. Again, I will never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path, and I'll run the race, and I will never be the same. I will never, never be. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race, and I will never be the same. And I will never be the same. And I will never be the same again.
Father, tonight, well, thank you for bringing us together again. Well, thank you for your love and your kindness towards us. We want to thank you for those that have come in tonight for the very first time. We pray that, Lord, your presence and your power here will influence us. And that you not leave, allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you for everyone who's here tonight. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Why don't you go around, shake 2 to 3, 4, 5 people. Tell them, it's good to see you tonight. Get ready for the word. And you may be seated thereafter. It's good to see you. You're welcome. And you may be seated. Are you glad to be here tonight? All right. Are you settling? Settle down. All right, so I'm preaching about heaven. Heaven tonight. Turn to somebody, heaven. Home is heaven. Right. Now, we're saying that there's a place called heaven. And that is a place where after everything ends, life is going to continue there. Many people do not believe in heaven. But the fact that you do not believe in heaven does not make heaven not exist. Can I say that again? Yes. The fact that you do not believe in heaven does not mean that there is no heaven. The fact that you don't believe in hell does not mean that there is no hell. Now, it's the same thing with God. The fact that you don't believe in God, it doesn't mean that there's no God. Because some people say, you know, if I don't see it, I mean, how can I believe something I've not seen? All right, but have you believe there's America, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know there's a country called Iceland? Yeah. You know there's a place called Iceland? Yeah. Are you sure? You never seen it, but you believe it? Yeah. You just heard about the name? Yeah. Uh-huh. It's the same thing. You hear about God. You've never seen God, but God is there. God is real. It's the same simple arithmetic. We talk about spirits. People talk about jombies and things like that. Have you seen a jombie before?
No.
But I'm sure you believe in jombies. So it's not necessarily something you have seen before that you believe in. There are things that exist. I said there are things that exist. And the fact that, you see, today I was just reading something very simple. NASA, that's North American, I think it's Aeronautical, some space station, whatever, this association, you know, the group that in America, they are in charge of space and you know, all those things. They have managed to get a space shuttle, an unmanned something, right? Unmanned something flying that is nobody inside. They have managed to get it to Jupiter. And Jupiter is the largest planet of all the nine planets. And it is 712 million kilometers from Earth. Can you even understand 712 million? So you see that even a white man with all his unbelief and his hard heart and all of that believes and knows that there's something out there 712 million kilometers away, and he launches an object for years, and then just today I think they hear something from the object, good morning from Jupiter. And then there's a lot of celebration in the office, because how can you sit in a place and you launch out a craft somewhere and it goes and then it tells you that I have arrived in Jupiter? You see that? I said that there's nothing like Jupiter. You don't have to see it to believe it. You see, so there's a place called heaven, and heaven was created because this world is going to end. Whether you believe it or not, you either be around when the world ends or you die. Many people think that there's no life after death. In fact, the Hindus believe in regeneration, reincarnation. All right, they say when you die, then you come back as something. No. My Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. So, what it means is that people who are dead are not dead, the people whose bodies, sunrise and sunset, the tombs, and things at La Repentaire that we see, and in all the cemeteries we see around, that we think they are dead, they are not dead. You know why they are not dead? Because you cannot be dead and be judged. You have to be alive to be judged. If somebody thieves something, you get it, and then they put him in prison, you have to appear before the judge for the judge to sentence you to whatever.
In the same way, God, who is the judge of all judges, one day is going to judge every one of us. And he's saying that, and the Bible is saying that, the judgment, you see, after, unto men, once to die. You don't die twice. You don't live twice. You live once. So this one time you are living, you have to make the best out of it. And as you see, as you are living this life, you have to also prepare where you are going. If you live in America, let's say you live abroad, and you have intentions of coming back to your country to live, you invest back in the country you are going to go. So that after all is said and done, when you go to that country, at least you have a place to stay. At least you got a small vehicle to do show off on Camp Street and Regent. You got some place for, you know, chill out. That is the problem with us, human beings and Christians. That even though we will not live forever, we don't plan ahead in the life that is ahead of us. Because that's a lot of things are going to happen there. Once you die, you must be alive to be judged. Now, when you are judged, there are two places you can go. You are either going to hell or you are going to heaven. There are only two places. There's two places. You are either guilty or innocent. You are either guilty or innocent. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that for God so loved the world, the guilty or innocent is based on John chapter 3 and verse 16, where God so loved the world and he has given his only begotten son. And he says, this is what he's saying. He says very simple. He's saying that those who believe in Jesus will be innocent. Those who do not believe Jesus will be guilty. We are not talking about whether you're good or bad. What is good and bad? What is good and bad? Tell me, what is good and bad? People's idea of good and bad is very, very, very different. Somebody can be so corrupt and people will support him. So you will say that that person is wicked, he's corrupt, but somebody loves him. Somebody doesn't see the corruption about that person. Don't you see people's relatives go to court and support them when they kill people? So which good is good, which good and bad? So it is not about good and bad. Like, it's about Jesus, believing in Jesus or not. That's what it's about. So it's not like, oh, me, I'm a good person. What do you mean by you're a good person? Good according to who? According to you. Let's ask good according, ask yourself, am I good according to God? So it's not about good or bad. It's not about whether you steal or not, whether you lie or not, whether you smoke or not, whether you drink or not, whether you sex or not. It's not about that. It's about whether you be. That's what the Bible says. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17 and 18 is mostly not read. 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. So what has happened is that there is a condemnation. Now you go to verse 19. He said, verse 19, now this is the condemnation. And this is the condemnation. You see, so there is a judgment. There is going to be a verdict. And the verdict is going to be guilty for those who have not received the provision of God, which is through Jesus Christ. So he said, and this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So God is saying that you have a house, you build a house, there's no GPL connection in the house. I have come and I'm telling you, I will connect you. You say you don't want the light. Free. I mean, it's like, what kind of person are you? Everybody builds a house and wants light. So you can iron your, press your clothes, you can, you know, washing machine, microwave, and all kinds of things. Light, water, pump water, hot and cold, TV, the radio, all kinds of sound system, all kinds of things. And God comes and says, I'm giving you light. He says, I don't want light. The Bible says that the fact that God left his house and thought of you and came to you and offered you something so good as light, and you said no, you'll be judged, you'll be condemned for that. That is the condemnation. You see, the condemnation is not even whether you have killed somebody before. The condemnation is not whether you have stolen before. The condemnation is not whether you have lied before. The condemnation is not whether you have even committed abortion before. The condemnation is not whether you are that is not it. The condemnation is that light has come. And you refuse the light. I'm saying that's what the Bible is saying. I'm saying what the Bible is saying. I am not saying what you want to say. That because somebody has killed somebody, you think about it. People in prison who are condemned to death, they give their life to Christ. The condemnation is not whether you have killed somebody before. The condemnation is that light has come. And you refuse that connection. You say, I don't need light. I have my own light. I'll find some matches and then light some fire. Take your light away. God says, oh, I should take my light away. No problem. One day, I will hold you responsible for this refusal. And the whole condemnation and the whole judgment is that. You see, so the judgment now makes it possible that those that are guilty should be separated from those that are not guilty. Because you cannot have guilty and not guilty in one place. You are sitting down in church tonight because you have not stolen, you have not been judged, you have not been found guilty. That's why you are free. If you had stolen something and you have been taken to the magistrate and you are found guilty, you won't be sitting down here tonight. You'll be separated in a place. They call the place Lot 10 to 12 Camp Street. If you wanted anybody to send you a letter, they will have to address Mr. James Bond. Lot 10 to 12 Camp Street. Work and Rust, Georgetown, Room, Capital A Department. So, with that in mind, then you should understand that after we die and we rise for the judgment, then those who refuse the light will have to be separated from those who did not refuse the light. Everything in this world, the good is always separated from the bad. Even the food we eat, once it goes into our stomach, the good things in the food is taken. And the bad things is just allowed to come out. Water that we drink, the bad things in the water is filtered. That's why we take 5-gallon bottles and we go to these places, Banks DIH, we go to all these where people are walking around with these 5-gallon bottles and they are offering us purified, sterilized, ultraviolet light something system water. Because there is this thing that is natural that you cannot avoid. That good things must be separated from bad things. That the right things must be separated from the wrong things. And therefore, we cannot all die and go to one same place. Because when the thief, you see, the condemnation again is not that you were a thief. You, the guy who stole was on the cross with Jesus. Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise today." Not because he was not a thief, because he believed in the light, and the belief in the light justified him. Even though human beings made him guilty, God acquitted him of his sins. So we are talking about our destination. Have you thought about heaven? Do you think about heaven? Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." You go to verse 3, he says that, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Since he said this, we have not seen him come back.
It means that he is still preparing and he's still expecting his guest. Anybody who is expecting guests prepares a place. And tonight, 1 point and we're going. How many points do you have? What's the first point? Heaven is a place one. You have your notes? Otherwise, I move on. Sorry, what's number one? Heaven is a place designed and built by God himself. I rather live in a place where God has built than something that Central Housing and Planning Authority has built for me. 10-key, 10-padlock. Where hurricane can easily bring it down upon you. It's one of the cheap construction things that people get themselves into. Number two. The redeemed of all nations are assembled in heaven. How was number three? There are rooms for all believers. Let me tell you, those of you who live in houses where you don't have your own room, don't worry. I'm sure some of you young people, Jonathan, do you have your own room? You sleep with Isaiah. Yeah. Oh, Lord, don't worry. Heaven, Isaiah won't come into your room by. You will turn your own key. Anybody who is sharing a room with somebody, don't worry. Heaven, there's no room sharing. There's so many rooms that you don't share rooms. You see, even, for example, the last time when I was in Ghana for a meeting at the Anakazu campus at Mampong, you see, the folks that are there, they share rooms. You know, you can have maybe 2 people in a room, maybe four people in a room, and things like that. That same room, we slept in a similar environment. There were 2 bunk beds, 4 sleeping spaces. But we were the only ones in the room. So I had one of that big room to myself. Whereas people had to share. Because there are so many rooms on campus that 15, 20 pastors who have gone for a meeting cannot be put in one room when there are so many rooms there. That gives you a taste of heaven. You should plan and go to heaven, brother. What's number four? You're waiting. Now, heaven is a safe deposit for treasures. And we learned last week that your love is a treasure. When we talk about treasures, we're not talking about diamond and gold and silver. Because treasures in the sight of God is very different from treasure in the sight of the world. In this world, there are things that make you look important. In God's sight, there are things that make you look important that are very different. The Bible says there was a certain rich man. And there was a guy called Lazarus. He was not rich. He was a beggar. The Bible says that, you see, in the world, when the rich man died, and we all know, when a rich man dies, a lot of people go to his funeral. Now, Patrick Manning is dead, the former Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago. Yeah, he died. And he's going to be given a state burial. You will see the president's CARICOM. I'm sure our president and Prime Minister and many people will go. When rich people die, hey, everybody stops what they are doing and they go to the funeral. When a poor person die, you see, that is why, for example, the difference between the culture that I came out of and the culture here is that when you go to Chapel Street Lodge, you go and see people who are dead, and you see the number of people who are there, you realize that that person wasn't important. You know, the number of people who come to your funeral tells whether the person who is dead is important or not. Even your wedding also. The number of people who come to your wedding proves whether you are important or not. Yeah. It's true. So treasures are your hope. You see, you can't put your hope in these things in this world.
The things in this world, they are here but for a short time. The Bible says that man is, even the glory of man is like grass. It appears for a while and it withers away. There is nothing in this world that the Bible admonishes us to put our heart, our faith, our hope inside. Look at people who kill people. For example, domestic violence. When men, the other day, I think this, you know, many, Saturday, Sunday, the first time in a while that a woman has killed a man. I think the women are uprising. Hey, choboy, choboy. We also start killing them. So guys, you should be careful. They are tired. They are rebelling now. They say, I will not wait for you to come and bring nonsense. It will kill you before you kill me. Why that woman? What was the case? The man was suspected in what? Cheating on her. Prince, isn't it? Infidelity. Right. Are they married? Look at that. So how can he cheat on you when you are not married? You see, your definition, which dictionary are you choosing the words from? You and him, you are cheating on God. How can you accuse a cheater of cheating? You are cheating yourself. But you see, she has placed her heart in a man. And therefore, when she discovered that the man does not appreciate her like she appreciates him, then look at what has happened to her. You're going to go to jail. Demons are in jail. I have a pastor friend who was arrested for some very funny something. He was put in jail for 6 months. He said nightmares. He said one night he was sleeping and he had a dream, and a big leopard or lion fighting with him in a dream. He said when he woke up, that his back was scratched like a real tiger has scratched you with his paws. A pastor who, I mean, very, very wonderful man of God. Through some ignorance, the police arrested him and put him in jail. Oh, Lord. You don't go to jail and come back and be the same, except by the grace of God. So as she has killed this man, her life really is gone. I can tell you that. Her life is gone. Because you have blood on your hands now. And it's not easy to have a human blood on your hands. That's why it's only Jesus who sets you free, and he sets you free indeed. So yes, we should marry. Yes, we should love one another. But the greatest love must be...
Right.
No, you can't give your love to a woman or a man. If you do that, you are ignorant. You are ignorant. Your treasures must be with God. Your heart and your mind and your being must not be in your bank account. Money, the Bible says, it has wings. It says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock, for riches are not forever. In a country like our country, you are even afraid to get rich. Somebody is looking for you to come and thief. One of the saddest stories I've ever experienced here is the two older rice farmers in the Sikwebo, who people went to try and steal from them, and they entered into a room and locked themselves up. And the people got so mad that they set the house on fire. And because they were locked up in a secured room, it was very difficult for them to come out. Neighbors heard them crying and shouting for help, but they couldn't come out. They were burnt alive. Why? Because you're a rice farmer and you have money. And somebody comes and just sets your house on fire. Is this where your treasure is going to be in? It doesn't matter whether you're in America or you're in Alboystown or you are wherever, Tiger Bay. When you die, life starts all over again. Yeah. And that is where you must focus your mind and your attention on. So Jesus said, John 14, again, we go there. He says that when I finish building the rooms, I will come and take you with me. So we are waiting for Jesus to come for us. Now, you should understand that anytime you arrive at any entrance, any airport, any home as a guest, any important place, you must go through protocol. So the protocol, number 5, is that heaven contains a register for all Christians. Heaven contains a register for all saints. Because how can we allocate rooms if we don't know who is here and how many are here? Who we are expecting? How can you? It's James Bond who does that. James Bond, he likes stealing people's invitation cards and then he dresses up and he goes to the party. When he gets to the place and he shows his invitation card. It's only James Bond who does those things. Now, you can't take somebody's invitation card and go to heaven. No, that is a place where all cunning and things can work. A tight security. you can't make it. So heaven contains a register for Christians. So when you die and you arrive, like the thief that Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. When he arrives and somebody says, hey, what are you doing here? He says, oh, Jesus said, I should come. If there's any error in his name or that his name was not found in the book, he said, Jesus, please. If it wasn't you, I won't come and stand at this gate. So please, talk to these angels who can't read properly, you know. my name must be in the book of life. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. I'm closing. Give me the New Living Translation if you have that. This is when the disciples were sent to go and cast out devils and do all kinds of miracles. And the Bible says that they came back and they told Jesus all the great things that the name of Jesus and the authority they had done. So Jesus told them this. He said, but don't rejoice just because evil spirits obey you. People are so focused. That's why I don't have time to do deliverance every week. Because one of the useless things to really give yourself to on a weekly basis is casting out devils. I believe in casting out devils. And I cast devils if I see them in you. Yeah, when you come to church, sometimes I see some of your faces, I see that devils are working in you. So that some of you are too uptight. I see that the demon has put a chain around you. He says, rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? I know you have an ID card. I know you can vote in the next general election. I know you have a Guyanese passport. But are you a citizen of heaven? It is only citizens who are allowed. You go to JFK. The last time I traveled, I was surprised at JFK. I mean, JFK had changed. You hardly talk to an immigration officer. Everything is, automatic check-in. You go, there's this thing like an ATM. You put your passport on, it scans it. It asks you one or two questions. You press it, it brings out some customs card. And then you go. When you're going, then somebody will say, okay, what do you have there? You say, okay, all right, have a nice day. But when you get there, the moment you get out of the plane, immediately they separate you into 3 groups. Residents, visitors, and citizens. They have these things that they use to make lines. So you get out of the plane for like half a mile. Or like even 1 mile. Some people are walking on this side.
Some people are working on this side. People are working on this side. You look at it and say, hey, even here on earth, they are still trying to separate citizens from non-citizens to visitors and residents and all kinds of things. Make sure that you are a citizen of heaven. I said, make sure that after your days on earth, whether it's 70 years, whether it's 40 years, whether it's 80 years, that at the end of the day, when you die and you get up on the other side, that you have your passport on the other side. So that when you get to the gate, you see, it's an automatic gate. Even if here on earth, gates open automatic to some people. I tell you, there's these people, they call them, I think it's these world travelers or something travelers. I've forgotten the right word. When they get to airports, it's just their eye. They look into a device like that. They scan their eyes and the immigration door opens for them. Nobody talks to them. Yeah. These days, they even have chips under people's. So the chip has every detail of you. So when you get to the airport, you are not somebody now. You are going to take what? You take his passport. Guyanese passport. Hold on. When is it? Hold on. She says, what have I done? Meanwhile, somebody goes to a place, nobody talks to him. He looks into a device, beep, the gate opens, he pulls his bag out, he's gone. If that can happen here on earth, please, God is the one who gave us the brain. He has zillion times what we have. How much more? He will also separate us. You see it. Even Tom and Jerry. I say, have you watched Tom and Jerry, having Tom and Jerry before? Even Tom and Jerry, when Tom died, he was in a long line. When he got to his turn, the man at the gate said, no, you have not been kind to Jerry. You can't come to heaven. Go back. If you go back and you sort your relationship with Jerry, then you can come back. Then the devil appeared and laughed at him like that. Then he went back. He started treating Jerry nice. And Jerry would provoke him and he would take something to hit Jerry and then the devil would appear. Then he would stop. Because he wants to go to heaven. Even the cat wants to go to heaven. How much more you are a human being? Hallelujah. Citizens, Jesus said, don't rejoice because when you cast out devils, they leave you. Don't rejoice because you have money. Don't rejoice because you have power. Don't rejoice that in Guyana, you are related to some big people, you have contacts and connections. Jesus said, even ask Christians who come to church and are always looking for solution to our problems. We want this, we want that. All those things are not important. The important thing is that one day all of us will die. That corruptible must put on incorruptible. And one day we'll stand before God. And our citizenship is what will matter. He said, rejoice. Rather than you are citizens of heaven. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. I just want to give you one scripture. I have many scriptures. Just one. Just for the sake of those who can't sit down for a long time. Yes. Make it short for you so that you will come again. I want you to come again, so I want to make it short. I'm sure God wants you to come even more and more. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And give me, maybe start from 14. Let's see how it starts. 14, 13. And death and hell, you see, so death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So there are going to be two judgments, huh? You know, there are two judgments. Okay, let me not go too much into that. Oh, there are two deaths. There's the death that will die here, and right there, the second death. So death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The end of all the bad things, the wicked things, those who rejected the light, is the lake of fire. You know, That's why the Catholic Church, if you know the Catholic Church, they believe in purgatory. They believe that when you die, you go to a place, transit. But if you give a lot of offering to them, then the father can pray. And then instead of going to Iraq, you go to Washington, D.C. You know. But I mean, that aspect is not true. But there's definitely an intermediary place before we enter into the real place where God is. That's why Jesus told the thief that you will be with me in paradise. And then when Jesus resurrected, he did not come. He said, I'm going to show myself to my father. It means that the father was not in paradise. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Abraham, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Not in the presence of God, the Father Almighty. Abraham's bosom. It's also a place. So those who are dead, those who are in hell, that is, even the hell as the grave, hell as in a fire, because the grave is also interpreted hell. Hell, it comes from a Greek word, Hades, and Sheol, which means the place of the dead. So all death and hell are cast into a lake of fire. It's like you see the Demerara River and it's fire. And everybody who refuses the light will be thrown in the lake of fire. So fire is flowing around you. Any fire touches you, you'll feel it. The rich man said, I am thirsty, get me some water. You'll feel it. It's a lake. It goes on in 15, that's what we're looking for. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. That's the register we are talking about in heaven. That person was cast. So it's not only death and hell, but anybody whose name is not on the list will also be cast into the lake of fire. So you are either in the lake of fire or you are not. You are either in heaven or you are in the lake of fire. The devil is going to be cast in the bottomless pit. Are you here? Are you listening? It's also another place. But God wants you tonight to register your name in that book. I said, God wants you to register your name in the book of life. And the decision is yours. You can take it or leave it. I have finished my job. I have told you about it. Now you have to decide. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. You are here tonight. We are closing. Don't please don't leave. Let us close first. We'd like to even shake your hands. I'd like to shake your hands, you know. I'd like to meet you. I'd like to know your name and all of that. Every eye closed at this time. You know deep in your heart, you are not sure. There's an uncertainty. I mean, if I ask you, do you have your phone on you? You can touch it. Say, yes, I have it on me. But if I ask you, is your name in the book of life? Are you sure your name is in the book of life? Tonight, it's not too late. Your name can't be written in the book of life. And I want to encourage you to make that decision right now tonight. It's either the book of life or the lake of fire. Pastor, please pray with me. I want my name. Whatever it takes for my name to be written in the book of life, I want to go through that. It takes a simple prayer. And your name will be written with the blood of Jesus as ink. Pastor, I'm here. I want to pray that prayer. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a citizen of heaven. Tonight, Pastor, I'm not shy. I'm not afraid. It's about your life. It's about your destiny. Tonight, while every eye is closed, you want to take this opportunity because you don't know when you are going to die. Pastor, please, I want my name to be written in the book of life. You are here like that. Lift up your right hand. I'll pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you are an honest person, if you are a very honest person, you will say, yes, my name is not, and I want my name to be. Any honest person will know that, you know what, I am not. I can't hide it. God bless you. God bless you. I see all those hands. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to the front. Come. I want to pray with you. Come. Clap for them as they come. All the gentlemen there, clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them. God bless you. God bless you. You must be sure. You must be sure. You must be sure tonight. 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 You must be sure. You must be sure. Before you go home, you must be sure that your name is written in the book of life. Come to the front. Come for them as they come. Come for them as they come. Come for them as they come. Come for them. Oh, clap for them. Oh, clap for them. Rejoice with them. God bless you. Make sure your name is in the book of life. Make sure, make sure, make sure. Make sure. Oh, it's not too late. Come to Jesus now. 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 It's not too late. It's not too late. Better late than never. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. God bless you. Come to Jesus.
Oh, lead me.
Close your eyes with me, please. And many of you young men here, God wants you to preach. You'll be surprised that you don't think so about yourself, but God thinks so about you. You think that you can't do it, but God knows you can do it. As long as you allow yourself and you pour His fire and His power on you, you can do it. There's nothing greater on earth than to be God's ambassador. Close your eyes with me. Church, let's close our eyes together and pray this prayer with me from the bottom of your heart. As you pray this prayer from your heart, your name enters into the book of life. And you become a citizen of heaven. Remember, the condemnation is that light has come and men loved darkness. From the bottom of your heart, say this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess now with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive. I open my heart. I open my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart. And to make my heart His home. To change my life forever. I believe that it is done. I believe that Jesus is in my heart right now. I believe I am born again. I believe my name is written in the book of life. And I believe I'm a citizen of heaven. From tonight, I rejoice, for God has forgiven me of my sins. Now listen to me, Satan. You have no power over me anymore. I am a child of God. I am a citizen of heaven. And I have the light of Christ in my life. You better run away when you see me after tonight. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for all these wonderful people, all the men, all the ladies. Thank you for those who you have called to be prophets and pastors and preachers and teachers. Thank you for those you have called to preach and to make known the gospel and the light that has come. That men will not have excuses
that they didn't see the light. How can you not see the light? Thank you that these guys are ambassadors to bear the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May they not fall by the side of the road. Lord, let them not fall by the side of the road. Let them not give up, oh God. It's a long journey. It's a race. Your word says, those that endure to the end is those that shall be saved. Let these ones not fall by the side of the road. Let them endure unto the end. That on that day, when they stand before you, you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let that be the testimony and the story of everyone standing here tonight. May this salvation be sealed with the presence of the Holy Ghost. May their lives never, never be the same again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins de Sabre, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.